In this unit, we will talk about standards and their importance to the healthcare community. The biggest current change in healthcare model is the need to share data across different sites of healthcare, within a single hospital or across hospital clinics, doctor's offices, nursing homes, and other sites of care. What we will discuss in this unit is what standards are required to support the network that provides connectivity and what is required for a patient's data to move among the various sites of care. In addition, we will discuss other applications that require networking. Examples include the submission of claims data to Medicare and Medicaid, insurance companies, and other payers. Reports need to be made to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, state agencies, and to other groups. In this unit, we will also discuss how these required standards are developed and who develops them. It is important to ensure the integrity and the non-bias of the groups that are creating the standards. This process is called accreditation. We will discuss who credits standards in the United States, and then we will discuss how the standards are selected and by whom. You will hear the word standards used frequently throughout the healthcare industry. This unit will also deal with some classes of standards that you may encounter in your work. Some standards will deal only with the words we use to communicate and what we need to know about those words in order to make sure that we understand what they mean. Other standards will deal with actually moving the data from one unit to another. What's required so that the received data is understood by the receiver. Standards are a necessary part of life. We're able to exist as a society because of standards. We could not buy different products and connect them together seamlessly without standards. Standards are very generic. It's likely that you will hear this word in almost any setting every day. Standards permit us to work with things and people without having to agree with each person with whom we interact in advance. A simple example, when you buy a loaf of bread and take it home and you put a slice of the bread into your toaster, it will fit because the bread industry and the toaster industry created a standard for the size of a slice of bread. Even so, we might have problems. Try putting a large bagel into a toaster. Some fit, some do not. You can buy a DVD without worrying about what machine you will play it on, and that, again, is the result of standards. Without standards, the world would be chaotic. Can you imagine driving your car without any rules? It would clearly be demolition derby time. This topic is important to you because regardless of what job you get in healthcare, you will encounter and use standards. The symbols on this slide show a number of the standards that we use today. We've already talked about the slice of a bread and how it is a standard because it fits within a toaster. But also, shoe sizes and clothes sizes are standardized so that if you get a size 8, you know what you're getting. I might mention that the standards for size in the United States is different than the size in Europe. So if you buy a pair of shoes in Europe, you need to be careful to recognize that the same size standard doesn't exist in both places. We buy tables of a certain size, of a standard size, so that tablecloths will fit. Doors and windows are standard sizes so that when we build a house and we leave an opening for the door or window, we know we can buy that product separately and it will fit within a standard size. Railroad tracks are standards, and it's important because as we build a railroad track from the East Coast to the West Coast, when they meet together, you hope they fit, and standards make that happen. standards. The tires on a bicycle or a car, for example, we buy those independent of the car or the bicycle, and we know that out of standard. What is the difference for these three methods of indicating time? Basically, they're all trying to say the same thing. Are they interchangeable? Which is your choice? What reason do you make that choice? Is the accuracy and precision the same for these three ways of measuring time? There are over 50 different styles of wall sockets in the world. Most international travels will carry a set of plugs like these. There are now devices on the market that reconfigures to adapt to most wall sockets. Unfortunately, many standards are not global. How many travelers have blown out an electrical appliance when they forgot that much of the world outside the U.S. uses a standard of 220 volts rather than 110 volts? Most countries drive on the left side of the road rather than on the right. Videotapes fought many years between VHS and Beta. And now Blu-ray has invaded the DVD market and is replacing the traditional standard. Current vision in health information technology requires the integration and merger of data across all sites, forms, and specialties of healthcare. We use the term interoperability to define what is required to enable this functionality. The biblical story of the Tower of Babel illustrates the importance of communication and understanding. When the workers started speaking different languages, the work on the Tower of Babel stopped. With the advent of new models for healthcare, new focus on health surveillance and public health and consumer health, sharing and reusing data is mandatory. In order to communicate, there must be a path for communication. We have many choices, and whatever choices we select, we must have a common approach or some way of converting from one method to another. What exists, cost, and the environment play a role in this choice. Beyond the physical connection, there are other requirements or standards that must be used to be interoperable. Since many parties are involved, there must be some governance infrastructure. As we will see in other parts of this unit, someone has to select the standards and the methods that we will use. Ideally, these decisions will be made by experts who understand the technology and the requirements. At a national level, the government must be involved. The interstate system of roads is a good example of the federal government, the state government, and local governments working together. The national government laid out the national plan where the roads would go and wrote the specifications for the roads to control quality. The states then contracted with private businesses and local governments for the work, using the standard specification. This slide illustrates much of what this entire component is about. We must understand what's in each of these circles and make sure that information is not lost as data moves from a sender to a receiver. So first we must understand the data. We must, in effect, speak the same language. We must have physical and logical standards for the transport of the data, and the data must be stored in such a way that the receiver can retrieve and understand the data. More than one exchange can take place, and interoperability needs to be preserved throughout those other exchanges. And then finally, interoperability must exist within the application. Many standards are involved to enable operability in the above diagram. The process of selecting which standards will be used is called. One of the problems with standards is that many groups produce overlapping standards. Whenever we have many options, different people will select different options, and we lose interoperability. So all of these comments have some basis for truth. In some areas, we have not defined standards, or at least selected standards, which will be needed to fill in the gaps. And all too often, a group will come to understand that we need standards for a task. And all too frequently, they immediately make their own standard instead of looking to see if a standard already exists. That's why we have so many similar and overlapping. Over $19 billion of the stimulus funding will address HIT. Key to success are standards to enable the sharing and understanding of healthcare data across the nation. Both of these activities are engaged in providing funding for the use of standards and for creating the workforce to support these initiatives. These two committees are identifying and recommending policy, HITPC, and standards, HITSC, to achieve the goals of interoperability for healthcare delivery across the U.S. These curriculum grants are awarded through ONC to create a workforce for a ubiquitous healthcare system across the U.S. Standards can be made through four different processes. The first is the government can create standards and require their use. Examples include the National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST, the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, CMS, create standards as well as other government agencies. The second method for creating standards is the de facto method. A large organization with clout in the marketplace can create standards that the community will follow because of the market value. These are the so-called 800-pound gorillas. Examples include Microsoft, Apple, Intel, and other market powerful groups. The third approach is ad hoc standards, created when a group of interesting parties get together and create a standard of common interest. Examples include when a group of vendors who manufacture imaging equipment got together and produced an imaging standard, in this case, a standard called DICOM. Continua is another group creating medical device, personal health device standards. There are many examples of this approach. And finally, a more open procedure for producing standards is the consensus method. Most standards developing organizations, SDOs, that are accredited by the American National Standards Institute are consensus standards. This approach requires a mixture of stakeholders, not dominated by any one group, to define and agree on a standard protocol. Health Level 7, the National Council for Pharmacy Drug Programs, X12N, and ASTM are examples. It is important to establish some authority for standards, both in terms of quality and sustainability. The authority can come from the government in the sense of mandated standards. For example, HIPAA mandated the use of several standards for reimbursement. A single vendor with a market share can effectively mandate a standard. Vendor agreements by groups such as the Electronic Health Record Association can agree to use a set of standards. And finally, SDOs accredited by an authority body can be the source of authority. For most U.S. SDOs, the accrediting body is the American National Standards Institute, or ANSI. Most SDOs come into being because of a single focused interest. As the scope of the interest spreads, so does the scope of the standard. And soon, the standard-making activities spread over other areas, and we have conflicting standards. The next series of slides will identify some of the SDOs that we are talking about. This slide identifies important international standards organizations. The next subunit will discuss each of these SDOs in turn, and discuss the type of standards that are created by each organization. ISO is international, and SIN is Europe. The other SDOs mentioned here started in the U.S. and evolved into international organizations. This slide shows some of the other international SDOs. IHT SDO is a terminology organization, and its primary product is a terminology known as SNOMED CT. The Joint Initiative Council is a collaborative organization that brings many of these international organizational groups together. In the international setting, there are other organizations that create or support standards making. The WHO is the source of the terminology used around the world called the International Classification of Diseases. OMG has created business standards, including the service-oriented architecture that you will learn about later. OMG is also responsible for the uniform modeling language. Integrating the Healthcare Environment, IHE, is an organization sponsored by Healthcare Information and Management Systems Society, HIMSS, and RSNA, Radiological Society of North America, and is known primarily as a profiler. That is, IHE identifies the standards that are used for an end-to-end network. IHE has also defined rules for registries of documents and for the transfer of those documents. World Wide Web Consortium, W3C, has defined the rules for web services on the Internet and is responsible for XML and for HTML. OASIS does business standards, and IETF defines Internet and network standards. These are the U.S. standards organization. ASTM is actually an international SDO, but its healthcare activities are only in the U.S. ASCX-12 is U.S.-based, but has ties with EDIFACT, a UN-sponsored international organization with similar interests. Several SDOs operate strongly, both as international organization and as U.S. organization. The role of ANSI as a standards accrediting body has already been mentioned. ANSI is the U.S. path to ISO. It holds the secretariat position for ISO TC215. As such, it supports the U.S. TAG, Technical Advisory Group, which represents the U.S. interests in TC215. The SCO plays a role in the U.S. similar to JIC in the international arena. Its purpose is to bring the U.S. SDOs together. NQF is responsible for defining quality measures. ONC and its two committees have already been discussed. The NLM is responsible for the Unified Medical Language System. It also represents the U.S. as a member of the governing body of IHT SDO. So you can see that in spite of still producing competing standards, there is a lot of linkage and overlap among the groups. In fact, many of the active persons who work in producing standards will be members and actually active in multiple SDOs. If you are interested in participating in any of these activities, all are open to membership, but most charge a membership. This is really a busy slide, but it does tie together all of the SDOs and the related bodies. At the top in purple are the international SDOs that are members of the JIC. In the yellow bordered box are the U.S. SDOs. Note that HL7 and CDISC participate in both the U.S. and the international organization. ANSI supports the U.S. SDOs as an accrediting body as well as being the U.S. path to ISO. IEEE is international, but is not a member of JIC or SCO, but they participate with ISO and ANSI. On the right-hand side are mostly terminology and terminology control groups. SNOMED is controlled by the IHDSDO. LOINC is controlled by the Regenstrief Institution. MEDRA, for drug allergies and other terminology, is a product of the International Conference on Harmonization of Technical Requirements for Registration of Pharmaceuticals for Human Use, or ICH. ICH has formed a relationship with HL7 and a liaison with ISO. Current procedural terminology, CPT, are procedural codes required by CMS and are owned by the American Medical Association. As noted, the ICD codes are owned by WHO. DICOM is not a member of JIC or SCO, but does have a liaison relation with ISO. As noted, IHE is sponsored by HIMSS and RSNA. Moving to the left-hand side, up at the top, the three boxes represents organization with IT responsibilities similar to HHS in the U.S., but focus is on HIT in addition. The National Health Service is in the United Kingdom, InfoWay in Canada, and NITA in Australia. The CCHIT, the Commission on Certification of Health Information Technology, represents certification activities for certification of electronic health records. This is currently undergoing change and may end up being represented by more than one group. The boxes above HHS represent federal groups that have a significant influence on the selecting and testing of standards. Below HHS are federal groups that have strong interests in standards and may have activities in the standards arena. CABIG is a user consortium within the National Cancer Institute. Finally, the blue boxes are federal agencies that directly select and use standards. For example, the FDA uses terminology standards and several of the regulatory standards developed by HL7 and CDISC. The VHA and DOD use standards as operational healthcare delivery units. Homeland Security uses standards for biosurveillance. Other groups use standards for telemedicine, natural disaster, and data quality. In this unit, you have learned that standards in HIT are essential to accomplish the goals of interoperability. Goals of ubiquitous patient-centric electronic health records require data about each patient to be aggregated. Access to and use of that data requires interoperability and in turn requires standards. Most standards in HIT are consensus-based standards. That means that all of the stakeholders come together and define the standards that permit them and their products to work interoperability across sites and distances. There are many groups, both national and international, that make standards or have a tight relationship with standards. At the present, these groups produce redundant standards, forcing decisions about which standards to use. Efforts are in place to harmonize the creation of standards, and it's important to you, if you work in the HIT industry, to understand the community of standards and standards developers.